Now, let's talk about motor vehicles, because I don't think I'm going to surprise anyone when I say that motor vehicles are, of course, one of the biggest human sources of greenhouse gases in the world. As far back as 2010, they accounted for a good one-fifth of carbon dioxide emissions. Now, in an effort to combat this and combat climate change, Britain and France have announced that they will ban on the sale of all petrol and diesel cars by 2040. Now, this is seen as a bit of a bold move. Sale of electric cars, not huge. It's only 2 million units worldwide, as I understand it. And in the UK, only 1.6% of new car registrations are electric. Anna Mortimer is from the Business School at Griffith University. Anna's a taxation lecturer and has published papers on how economics influences the car industry as well as environmental policies. Anna, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, you've written and looked extensively at the future of the car industry. Is a ban like this on petrol and diesel cars, is this something that was always, was the writing on the wall for the car industry, or is this a little bit unexpected?
Well, I think it's all linked with the Paris Agreement and trying to keep emissions below that, total emissions below that 2%. And as you were just mentioning before the introduction, is that transport emissions make up globally make up at least 23% of global emissions, a significant amount. And there is this drive, and the only way to reduce transport emissions is to decarbonize. And obviously to decarbonize means to ban and reduce the sale of petrol and diesel vehicles. So that's the push. And the announcement is I think, for the benefit of the motor vehicle industry, the car manufacturers. The car manufacturers need certainty. They need to know if they're going to be investing a lot of money into the new cars of the future. Mm. They need some certainty that the government is going to provide to back them up. And so obviously this announcement is to drive this push now for electric vehicles. So you'll just see so many more electric vehicles coming on. We're not getting them, but mind you, we're not getting them here in Australia, but you will see if you travel overseas into Europe, you'll definitely see far more electric vehicles on the road.
So you're suggesting that a policy like this actually just provides the car industry more of a framework and a timeline to work towards?
Definitely.
Interesting.
I mean, they've already got, because 80% of all cars manufactured globally are subject to regulation. So the regulation at the moment by 2025 is going to be, that's in Europe, it's by 2021, and they're going to reduce the average emissions has to reduce for passenger vehicles is down to 91 grams of CO2 per kilometre. That's the average. So a car manufacturer has to, the sales of all their cars, the average emissions has to meet that target. Now, at the moment in Europe, it's 118 grams of CO2. That's what they've achieved. So to make that transition from 118 down to 91 means they've got to sell more fuel-efficient vehicles. So that is the push. I mean, they're getting there anyway. That's the reason why there is more and more cars, electric vehicles, because to meet any of these targets, they've got to now, the only way is to produce more, manufacture more electric vehicles.
I
think it's also a message to consumers and trying to get consumers on board as well, because the consumers need to, car manufacturers need support from consumers that they will also purchase these vehicles in the future.
Well, you talked about Australia before, and let's talk about Australia and consumers and electric cars. The big argument out here that many naysayers will say is that we're just too big to allow electric cars. The tyranny of distance for Australia's country means that electric cars can't work. How accurate is that statement?
The thing is, we don't, because there's I mean, to get, I think the vehicles, the electric vehicles, that you'll see the technology advancing, that the batteries will be able to take long distances, and obviously, you know, regional areas that might be long. I mean, that's probably something that I'm sure will be addressed in the for the electric vehicles. But I mean, definitely around you know, in the cities, there's, you know, the distances aren't that, you know, as much as the distances are in the UK. So there's no reason why, you know, in the cities that we can't see more electric vehicles.
Now, 2040...
And that's where the problem is. Sorry?
I was going to say, 2040 is some time away. What other policies are we looking at, especially in Australia, to deal with emissions?
Well, actually, just to go back on that, we were talking about electric vehicles and the tyranny of distance. You've also got the hybrids.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you've got... So I mean, even our the sale of our hybrids is so low. I mean, there's no reason why we can't be selling more hybrids, and it meets that, you know, anyone concerned about distances. A hybrid vehicle will definitely, you know, there's no worries about meeting the travel, the distances.
Well, in that case, why aren't hybrids more popular in Australia? Are we not pushing them enough?
Well, I mean, we've got no policy. There's absolutely no policy to drive people to incentivize the purchase of these vehicles. And because we also, I mean, the main one is that we have no regulation to stop car manufacturers, overseas car manufacturers, just dumping their high emitting vehicles here in Australia. And that's exactly what's happening. I mean, if you know, in the news, you'll see these SUVs. I was just seeing the other day, they were advertising SUVs for $25,000, you know. So I mean, they're really cheap because, you know, overseas the car manufacturers can't sell them in their countries because they're subject to regulation, and so therefore they're obviously going to want to make profit on these cars. I mean, they still can manufacture and make profit, so they will sell them in countries where there's no regulation. You know, no regulation, let's sell them in Australia. So you put on a regulation here, you'll see a definite shift on the type of vehicles that will be imported into Australia. And that's the reason why a lot of global car companies will not import really the full range of electric vehicles. We're not getting the full range of electric vehicles, nor are we getting the full range of hybrid vehicles as well, because the consumer demand is not there. Even the statistics that came out recently from the National Transport Commission actually saw a drop in the number of green vehicles. Green vehicles are less than 120 grams of CO2. It dropped in sales from 4.7% sales to 2.5%, so it dropped nearly by a half.
Wow.
So, and that's 120 grams of CO2. That's still, they're like our Priuses, and, you know, they're not our electric cars, but... So those cars are not selling. Even, for example, if you looked at the SUV medium, the Mitsubishi Outlander, which, you know, is extremely efficient, 42 grams of CO2 per kilometre, only 49 of those vehicles were sold in 2016. 49 were sold. So a huge drop in sales this year in 2016. And in terms of reducing overall emissions in the, I think we only reduced it by 1%. So in our road vehicles. So we definitely have a problem here in Australia. Policy is definitely required in order to increase the demand for our fuel efficient vehicles. They're not bringing them in.
Anna, very sadly, we're going to have to leave it there so we can get through to the news. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna Mortimer there. She's a transport emissions expert, rather, with Griffith University, as well as lecturing in taxation there, talking about the ban on petrol and diesel cars announced by Britain and France, the upcoming ban. Can Australia learn from their example? Certainly, it sounds like we need a lot more regulation.